The next part of our story is very tense. Late. Very. Very late. That is when most dastardly deeds take place, in the very lateness of night. There was a crescent moon. The clan of Kertuffle was sleeping. Snores in antiphonal chorus attested to this. Slack was the shack from the front to the back. This was Happy's big chance, for the big time. Happy Humphrey clumbered over the fence onto the verdant turf. He was in the yard, the backyard of Ezekiel Kertuffle, where grew the magical, mythical, wonderful tree. He crept, stealthily toward the greening of the miracle. Another owl, cousin of the first, let out a hoot. Happy Humphrey froze in terror, and remained so for over an hour. As aforementioned, this part is very tense. But finally, Happy Humphrey moved toward the tree, drooling. He was there. Imagine the thrill of being so close to a money tree you could touch it. He touched it. He even caressed it and kissed it. But this was no time for relationships. It was a time for evil and criminal action. To wit, Happy Humphrey withdrew a minuscule axe, carried always in case of nefarious need, and, even while caressing the treelet with one hand, began to chop with the other. Chip chop, chip chop. At this point, it would be well to interject that as of now in America, trees do not enjoy full civil rights as do horses, cats, and children. Thus, the full and profoundly murderous scope of Happy Humphrey's deed could not be prosecuted to the fullest extent in, for example, the Supreme Court. Furthermore, I regret to report that at 3:48 a.m., the little tree fell victim to the blows of the axe of Happy Humphrey, merchant offenders. Sympathizers are here sanctioned to weep.